The third Sunday of Advent, the joyful Sunday, we heard it in the second reading. Rejoice in the Lord always because the Lord is near. And so as a sign of our joy, the deacon and I get to wear pink, and I fully embrace it right down to my socks. Yes. But as I mentioned, today is also the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. This last Wednesday in the Immaculate Conception, a holy day of obligation, we celebrated the patroness of the Church in the United States and of the Diocese of Lansing. But all of the Americas, North, Central, and South, have been placed under the protection of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And so we're going to talk about that today on her feast day. And it was 400 years before our Blessed Mother appeared to the children at Fatima in Portugal. It was 350 years before the Blessed Mother appeared to Bernadette at Lourdes in France that our Blessed Mother appeared to Juan Diego, a 57-year-old peasant outside of Mexico City. And it was the final apparition on this date, 490 years ago in 1531, that we celebrate today. At that time, Mexico was the land of the Aztecs. They were the successors to the Mayan Empire, and both the Mayans and the Aztecs were thoroughly pagan. The Aztecs believed in 200 different gods that they worshipped and erected temples to, chief among them a god of the sun and a god of the moon. And to appease these gods and to stave off destruction, the Aztecs practiced human sacrifice. Not just children, but adults as well. Some were even willing to be offered as a sacrifice to their gods, and they would take them to the temple peak, and they would rip out their heart and somehow thought that that pleased these gods and would make things better for their people. But it was in that same century, five centuries ago, that the Spanish conquistadors first came to Mexico. And with them, they brought the black friars who came to spread the Catholic Christian faith. And Juan Diego left the pagan Aztec beliefs behind and embraced the life of a Catholic Christian. So great was Juan Diego's devotion to our Lord and to our Lady. He didn't just go to Mass on Sunday. He went to Mass every day. He would set out barefoot to walk for miles to get across the craggy peak of Tepeyac Hill to the church in Mexico City to receive the Eucharist. And it was on December the 9th, 1531, that Juan Diego was making the way he had walked so many times before, but nothing was the same that day. First, he heard beautiful music, but there was no band. And he looked to the top of the hill, and he saw this beautiful woman waiting there for him, and she called him by name, even though they had never met. And she identified herself to him as the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, which in the Nahuatl language of the Aztec people meant she who was clothed with the sun, the same title given to the Blessed Mother in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. And the Blessed Mother told Juan Diego, don't go to Mass, go to the residence of the Archbishop in Mexico City and tell him a chapel must be built on the spot so that all the peoples of this land may know the love of my son and the love of his mother and experience healing, hope, and health. Juan Diego did as the Blessed Mother requested. He went to try and gain an audience with the Archbishop, who heard that a peasant was standing outside who just claims to have seen the Blessed Mother. The bishop was having a boring day at the office and thought this might at least entertain me. And so he allowed Juan Diego in his presence, and he simply laughed in his face and said, if you want me to believe that you have seen Mary at Tepeyac Hill in that squalor, then she must give you a sign to bring to me. The bishop did not believe. The bishop chose to doubt. Perhaps he was insulted that the Blessed Mother would choose a poor, illiterate peasant like Juan Diego instead of appearing to the Archbishop in all of his glory and grandeur there in the Episcopal residence. Juan Diego went home, and the next day he was setting off on his way to Mass, and of course, there again was the music, there again was the beautiful woman, and there again Mary's request, go back to that bishop and tell him I want a chapel built right here. It happened on the 9th of December, on the 10th of December, the 11th of December. Lather, rinse, and repeat. He would see the lady would send to the bishop would laugh at him, demand a sign, and then they would do it all over again the next day. But everything changed on that December morning, 490 years ago today. Juan Diego saw the lady, and this time he was trying to avoid her because his uncle was sick, and he needed to get to the church to get a priest to come and give the last rites to his uncle. She said, don't worry about your uncle. He's already well. That turned out to be true. And then she said, I'm going to give you a sign to bring to the bishop. And she told him to hold out the cloak that he was wearing over himself called a tilma. And she wanted him to hold it like this. And in it, she placed some roses she picked right there on the mountaintop. They were beautiful red Castilian roses, which usually only grow in Spain, and yet they were growing in the craggy Rocky Mountain peak there on a frozen December morning. She said, "Wrap these in your toma and take them to the bishop and let him see the flowers. And as they fall to the floor, he will become a believer and the chapel will be built as I requested." Finally, hearing that the sign had been given, the bishop allowed Juan Diego into his presence one more time. And as the roses fell to the floor, the bishop could have cared less about those. And that's because he was mesmerized by the image that was left on the tilma, on the cloak where the roses had been. And it's this image, the image of the same woman that Juan Diego had seen 4 days in a row on top of Tepeyac Hill. And she appeared to be an Aztec woman, appealing to the natives of that land. But how did that image get to be there? Did Juan Diego somehow in the course of the night paint it himself? This image that still exists in Mexico City today has been subjected to as much scientific testing and scrutiny as has been afforded to the Shroud of Turin. And yet no one has ever found that it could have been produced by human hand, because there's not a single brushstroke anywhere on it. And if you looked at it from its peripheral view, you would see that it's as glossy as a photograph in a magazine. What perhaps is most miraculous is that the image in Mexico City continues to exist at all. Juan Diego was poor. He couldn't afford to buy fabric to make clothing, and so his toma was made out of cactus fiber, of vegetable fiber. That would decay just like the cactus itself if it wasn't receiving soil and water. And yet, 490 years later, that cloak still exists in a perfect, pristine form, whereas most other things that were made of cactus fiber would decay within 15 or 20 years. But that's only just the beginning. We're only scratching the surface. Remember, she appears as an Aztec woman, and she's standing in front of the sun, standing on the moon. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 says, "She will be clothed with the sun and walking on the moon with a crown of stars around her head." This was Mary, who is the mother of God, showing those Aztecs that she is greater than their God of the sun, and the God she serves is greater than the God of the moon that they sacrifice to. And thus it was, she knew, that people were going to come to believe in God because of her visit with Juan Diego on that hill, clothed with stars. Look at all the stars in the blue cloak around her. Astronomers, not astrologers. Astronomers have determined that those stars are in the exact placement of the stars in the night sky over Mexico City in December of 1531. The constellations are in the exact placement, including Leo inside of Virgo. That's the lion inside of the Virgin. Jesus has been called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But what about the dress that she's wearing underneath her cloak? That is the dress of an Aztec peasant woman, but on it, with all the floral designs, were signs of Aztec symbols of life and virility. The ribbon she wore across the high part of her waist shows that she's also with child. Doctors have studied the dimensions of the image and said she's not just a little bit pregnant. This is a woman who's ready to give birth. But further analysis of those flowers on her dress showed that their placement represented the exact location. It was a map, the exact location where she was appearing to Juan Diego and Tepeyac Hill, and it became a map of all of Mexico, including the exact placement of all the active volcanoes on that peninsula, something that no map maker at that time would have been able to determine. It truly is a miraculous image, nowhere more so than in the eyes of the Blessed Mother. That had to be studied under a microscope. And what they found there is that the eyes in the image of Our Lady Guadalupe on Juan Diego's tilma, on his cloak, have the same traits as the human eye, where you can see reflected in the eye whatever it is that you're looking at. And what they saw in the microscope was amazing. They didn't just see one person reflected there or two, they saw 13. They saw Juan Diego, they saw the bishop, and they saw 11 other people that were in the room at that moment. The flowers fell to the floor. People can choose to believe it or not, but if we believe that God created everything out of nothing, if we believe that he put his son in the womb of a virgin, we can certainly believe that our Blessed Mother appeared in the new world to say to us the same thing that Gabriel, the angel of Christmas, said 2,000 years ago when he said to Zechariah and to Joseph and to Mary and to the shepherds, he said, "Do not be afraid." This is the message, the last message that Mary spoke to Juan Diego on December the 12th, 490 years ago. She said, "Juan, hear me and understand well, my son, that nothing should frighten or grieve you. Let not your hearts be disturbed. Do not fear sickness nor any anguish. Am I not here who is your mother? Are you not under my protection? Am I not your health? Are you not happily within my fold? What else do you wish? Do not grieve or be disturbed by anything." Well, Juan Diego's wishes were granted. His uncle became well. The bishop no longer doubted him. A chapel was built right on that spot, and Juan Diego spent the rest of his life telling the pilgrims who came to visit there about the beautiful music and the beautiful woman he met on that hillside in December, almost 500 years ago. But what's more amazing is how the Virgin of Guadalupe played a role in the fall of the Aztec Empire, because all of a sudden, nobody wanted to worship the God of the Sun. They wanted to worship the Son of God who comes to us through the womb of Mary. And it's estimated that 10 million native peoples in this land became converts to the Catholic Christian faith once they heard about this image and flocked to Mexico City to see it. Our Blessed Mother can turn heads and hearts. She turns them toward her Son, who will turn us towards the Father. And now I'd like to invite the catechumens and candidates from the RCA to come forward for their dismissal.